to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 11. I told you wrong. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, I want to read one verse. I think you're very familiar with this verse, most of you. If you've been here any period of time, you're familiar with it. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." Him is God. "For he who comes to God must believe that he is." Now, I want you to hear this. "For he who comes to God must." Everybody say must. Must believe that he is. I'm just giving a moment for that to sink in. He that comes to God must believe that he is. We're living in a time now when there's a lot of doubters. And even some who at one time in their life professed the faith, but are now questioning their faith. And I pray that that's not you. But if it is, you have time to change. Right now. Don't wait for tomorrow. Matter of fact, don't wait for the next hour. Change now. It's important for us to believe God is who he says he is. Amen. Notice how I said that. It's important to us because regardless of what we say about God, God doesn't change. He is who he is. You can say all day long he don't exist. You can say it, but that don't change a thing. He does exist. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, number one, number two, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." You get that? We must believe that he is, number one. And number two, we must believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. In other words, those that are serious, not half-hearted, in one minute, out the next, but you're serious about it, we must believe that he is a rewarder. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to share some things with you for a little bit that I believe would be a blessing to you if you receive it. And I'm going to title this, "Having Faith in What God Said." Having faith in what God said. Hallelujah. As Christians, as believers, we must find out what God said And we find that through the Word, through our own private study of the Word, through the hearing of the Word. We must find out what God said and then stay with it. You hear me? You stay with it. You stay with it. Remember, the Word of God says, Jesus said it, that if we ask God anything, and if we believe it with our heart, we'll have what we ask of Him. So we see this as a heart thing, isn't it? Even the born-again experience found in Romans. If we believe in our hearts, notice how that's written, believe in our hearts. Romans what, 10, 9 and 10? If we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth, we'll be saved. It's a heart matter. Amen. Now, let's go back to the book of Genesis, all the way back to the book of beginnings. Chapter 1. Now, you may not have a New Living Bible, but I'm going to read a few verses to you from the New Living Bible, beginning at the first chapter of Genesis. I want you to notice a progression here, and you'll see where I'm going in a little bit. Notice I said we must have faith in what God said. Amen? I want you to notice something here in the book of Genesis. God told Adam, first of all, in his relationship with man after he created him, he told Adam what belonged to him. So again, I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation, beginning at verse 26. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will, now listen to this. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Verse 27. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God, verse 28, then God blessed them and said, hallelujah, he blessed them. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. God gave Adam his instruction. Verse 29, then God said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given you every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Everything that has life, and that is what happened. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good. And the evening passed, and the morning came, making it the sixth day. Now, I like to point this out. I like to point it out, and I know you've heard me say this before, but I want to say it again. When God created the earth and created everything, light, everything he created, you can read it there in Genesis chapter 1. It says, and it was good. And God saw that it was good. It was good. It was good. It was time after time. It was good. But when he made man, listen to me, when he made man and woman, he placed them over his creation. He placed them over the earth. And when God did that, then he looked again and he said, that is very good. It's there. It's there in your Bible, the first chapter. He said, it's very good. Hallelujah. God had man right where he wanted him. Because you have to understand, man had to be in charge of something because he's created in God's image and in God's likeness. So God placed him over the earth to be in charge. Amen. Of all the animals, everything he created. Hallelujah. Because he'd created in God's likeness and in God's image and God's likeness, excuse me, in that he was a spiritual being. He was a spiritual being. He made in the likeness of God. And God said, that is very good. Hallelujah. So we see then that God tells man what belongs to him. All right? Now that man understands what belongs to him, God needed to give him some instructions. Amen? So flip over to the second chapter. And again, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, second chapter, beginning at verse 15, the Lord placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord warned him, this is verse 16, but the Lord warned him, in other words, God gave him some instructions, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden. Notice what he said, you can eat, you can freely eat of every tree in the garden except, everybody say except. Yes. Except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are surely to die. If you eat its fruit, you are surely to die. So now God created earth, placed man over it, created the garden, placed man in the garden, and then he gave man instructions. See, here's the problem we have sometimes. We read the Word of God, and we hear the Word of God preached, and we are blessed by what we hear or what we read, especially when we find out who we really are in Christ Jesus. And that is sad that so many believers don't know who they are in Christ Jesus. But when we find out who we are in Christ Jesus, what God has made us to be in him, we rejoice. We say hallelujah. But then sometimes we fail to follow his instructions. Hallelujah. I'm born again. How about you? Amen. If you're born again, say amen.
Amen.
I have the Spirit of the living God living on the inside of me. Amen. And that's a good thing. I have eternal life. But you know, it doesn't stop right there. I am required of God. Now, I have eternal life, but I am required of God to follow his instructions while I'm here in the earth. That's the reason we have the Bible. We saved, but we still need to read the Bible. Because when we read the Bible and when we do what it says, guess what? We please God and we stay out of trouble. Amen. We stay out of trouble. So God gave Adam some instruction. You can eat every tree in the garden, Adam. But this one right here, the tree of knowledge and good and evil, don't eat of that tree. Because the day you do, you're surely going to die. All righty. So God placed him, created him, placed him in the garden, gave him his instructions. Now, guess what happens next? I'll tell you. The devil shows up. The devil shows up. Flip over to the third chapter. And again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, beginning at verse 1. It says, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees of the garden? Well, how many times have he came to us and said, did God really say that? Did he really mean what he said? Okay. The woman Eve responded, verse 2, of course we may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied, but it's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. There are consequences when we disobey God. Sometimes as believers, spirit-filled, tongue-talking believers, we ask ourselves why this, why that. But sometimes it's because we have disobeyed God in some areas in our lives, and so we've opened the door to problems. So God warned them what would happen if they disobeyed him and eat the fruit. Verse 4. Now the devil's talking again. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. Now, no wonder he gonna burn. Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, one day, well, he's during the millennium, he's going to be cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, but that's temporary. One day he's going to be cast into the lake of fire, never to be heard of again because of his disobedience. And it didn't begin in the Garden of Eden. It began before that. When he tried to become like God himself. And that's a message for another time. But he rebelled against God and caused one third of the angelic host to follow him. That lets you know he had lots of authority God had given him. But now he's telling Eve, you won't die. Verse 5, God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. So remember these three things before I go any further. God lets us know what belongs to us through his word. We receive instructions through his word. But the devil is coming, and he's going to try your faith. He's going to try to tempt you. Hallelujah. I'm like Sally now. I could have used a couple more amens on that. Hallelujah. Or you're still here. And I think you know the rest of that story. She looked at the fruit and saw in the natural it was good for food. It looked delicious. She ate, and then she gave to her husband. And he ate. And when he ate, the deal was done. Satan became the god of this world, because your Lord is whoever you obey. The ones that's calling the shot in your life, that's your Lord. He obeyed him. They got kicked out of the garden. You know the story. But had Adam been obedient to what God said, our lives would be better today. Hallelujah. Think about all the misery that you've had to go through, the hard times, the, you know, whatever it is you've had to deal with. It's all because of the fall of man. We live in a fallen world. But hope is not lost. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Lord's been dealing with me concerning the fact that we as believers must strengthen our faith in him. Remember, we read in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. You hear me? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, here's what I want to say to you. Listen to me real good. I don't know how much you watch the news, but let me say something. And I watch the news too, and I'm backing off of it some. I don't watch it much now as I used to, because practically everything you hear is negative. It's just not. I like good news. How about you folks? I like good news. But here's what we got to be careful of. We've been called to walk by faith. We got to know what God's given us, and we got to follow his instruction and not be ignorant of Satan's devices. Let me ask you a question. And I'll use the news for an example. It's not just the news. It can be folk, people, whatever. But when you sit down and you watch the news, and And I'm not saying don't watch the news, but I'm saying you need to be very, very careful, because I have to ask this question. Is it putting fear on the inside of you? You listening to me? Is it causing you to become fearful? Because the Word of God tells us God has not given us the spirit of fear, but He's given us power, love, and a sound mind. Are you still with me? Let me tell you something, folks. Somebody got to stay strong in these final days that we're living in. Somebody got to remain full of faith. Somebody got to believe God, even when it looks dark all around you. Somebody got to stand and say, I believe God. I believe the Word of God, and it's on the Word of God I'm going to stand. And I'm not going to allow the spirit of fear to get on the inside of me and torment me to the point where it's hard to make a decision, because I'm so tormented on the inside. What if, what if, what if, what if? Look, we got to get our eyes in the Word of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hear what God is saying. Hear what God is saying. Focus on what God is saying. Don't get caught up on the confusion in this world. Why? Because when Adam fell, Satan became the god of this world, the god of this world system. And I like to say it this way because it's the absolute truth: God with the little g, not God Almighty. Because remember, God placed Adam over the fish of the sea, over all the animals. He created all, and then he said, Adam, now I place you in charge. But when Adam disobeyed God, he lost all that. And that's the reason the devil could tempt Jesus. And he could brag to Jesus, as he did in Luke chapter 4. Told Jesus, look at all the cities and the kingdoms of the earth. He said, and he got, man, he got some nerve. But he's a bold fella. He gonna tell the Son of God, if you will bow down and worship me. See, he still had the same old stinking attitude he had when he rebelled against God. He said, if you worship me, I'll give you all of this. All of it will be yours. But Jesus created it anyway. Body. And his body was in a weakened state because he had fasted 40 days, 40 nights, and he hadn't eaten anything. But now listen to me. Oh, glory to God. I don't know if y'all ever think. Sometimes I just sit and think, ponder things. What if Jesus had said, I know I'm the Son of God, but now I'm in the earth realm. I've stepped down out of heaven, and I'm now in the earth realm. And I have a physical body. I haven't eaten anything for 40 days. I am hungry. So, I'll bow down. I'll turn these stones into bread. I'll bow down to receive the kingdoms that he's offering. If Jesus had done that, and now let me stop you for a moment. I know you said, well, yeah, but he was Jesus. Yes, he was Jesus. But the Bible says he was tempted. Matthew 4 says he was tempted. Luke 4 says he was tempted. Who is it? Is it Hebrews? It's not coming to me right now, but I can tell you what it says. It says he was tempted in all points, yet without sin. What point am I trying to make to you? Aren't you glad? I know I am. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't yield to temptation? Oh, my Lord, where would we be? We would be with, think about that for a moment, brothers and sisters. We would be without hope if he had yielded to temptation, but he did not yield to temptation. Oh, by the way, if he didn't yield to temptation, you don't have to either. Hallelujah. What we need to do is put all of our can't help it under the blood. Put all of our excuses under the blood. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to read on a little bit more. I want you to turn to the book of Mark. Fifth chapter. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to read you a little story here, and we'll probably close there as soon as I get there. Mark chapter 5. Say, I must have faith in what God has said. Faith in what he said. Amen. Amen. All right, let's take a look at this. Mark 5. I'll begin reading at verse 21. Now, just remember, Adam didn't obey what he said. He disobeyed. Jesus had crossed. I'm reading from the New King James Bible now. Now, when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and great multitudes followed him and thronged him. Now, in Mark chapter 5, this story stops for a while because Jesus gets diverted by the woman with the issue of blood. Now, Remember now, Jesus is going with Jairus. Amen? Can you imagine? Now, Jairus said, you know, Jesus, if you come, listen to what he said, verse 23. Let's look at it again. My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. You see that? Now, this man had faith, didn't he? This man believed in Jesus. Matter of fact, he fell at his feet. And so, the word of God tells us in verse 24, Jesus went with him. And there's a great multitude following him as he was going. Sometimes things can happen to cause you to lose your faith or offend you, but we must not let that happen. We must have faith in what Jesus said and have faith in our own confession of his word. Are you still with me? Now, Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house. Verse 25, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered, you familiar with this story, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. And she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Somebody shout hallelujah. Verse 30, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched my clothes or who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, because according to the law, she shouldn't have been in that crowd anyway, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Now listen at this. Remember Jairus? While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Now, this was a good place for Jairus to get really upset with Jesus. Now, I understand, Jesus, this woman's issue of blood is a serious matter. I understand that. I understand that she spent all she had with the physicians, but she didn't get better. Rather, she grew worse. Jesus, I understand that. But Jesus, my little daughter just died. I just lost my baby. Jesus, you should have told this woman to wait and come back. You should have came on to my house and healed my baby. Jesus. But listen at what Jesus said. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid. Finish that. Say it again. Do not be afraid, only believe. And I love this. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Now, see, if we're going to walk and live by faith, sometimes there's some people you're going to have to get out of your life. I mean, it doesn't mean that you're being mean or disrespectful to them, but when it comes, listen to me. I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm in the hospital, I don't want nobody coming in there talking doubt and unbelief. And I don't want you standing around talking about me. I might accidentally hear you. Ooh, Pastor, he sure do look bad. I don't think he's going to make it. What you think? I don't either. He look bad. I don't think he's going to make it. You know what my advice to you is? Stay home.
Amen.
Don't come see me. Don't come see me. I wouldn't want anybody in my hospital room talking doubt and unbelief. You're welcome to come if you come in full of faith. Stand with me. I am so glad. God blessed us. Oh, my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God blessed us so much back in 2010 when I was out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And in the hospital out there, nobody, and you can testify to this, nobody came in my room talking doubt and unbelief. The doctors didn't talk doubt and unbelief. When we walked through the door, there's a brother, and I got to contact him too. I think he's now pastoring the church. But there's a brother that met Kathy and me and greeted us, you know, and we were in a new place and, you know, I'm dealing with this condition in my body, and this man met us, he greeted us, he hugged us, and he showed us to our room, Sister Mildred. And you know what he did before he left? He said, let's pray. Let's pray. And he prayed the prayer of faith over us. No, he didn't pray no Lord, if it be thy will stuff. Lord, we loveth our brother, but if it be thy will, heal him. No. This brother prayed the prayer of faith over us. And not only that, he kept in touch with us. He'd check in on us all the time, praying with us. Glory to God. Had believing doctors that prayed over us. Because I was in a lot of pain, and so I went to see a pain doctor, and you know what we did? They had some Christian music playing there in the hospital, right beside the hospital bed. And he says, well, I'm going to put you under slightly because I'm going to give you a shot. But there was the doctor, and there was another preacher there, and Kathy. Four of us in there. I was the fourth. And they joined hands, laid hands on me, and prayed over me. The preacher led the prayer, prayed over me before they took me out. All of it was faith building. Faith building. On Monday nights, they had healing classes. Oh, yeah, healing classes. Well, you wanted to, you could go to healing class. But I think, what kind of hospital is that? I'm not kidding. This is the truth. wasn't easy, but God brought us through this. Hallelujah. I went there believing God and left there praising God.
Amen.
Amen. And I got to close this. I'll probably continue next week because I didn't get where I planned to get. But let me say this. Whatever you do, when you go in someone's room or if you visit them at their house, those of you that visit and so forth on behalf of this church, on behalf of me and this church, don't ever go in anybody talking in their bedroom or their hospital room or in their house talking doubt and unbelief. You give them the word of God. You pray the prayer of faith over them. You let them know I'm hooking up with you in faith. We believe in God together.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, notice there, Mark 5:37, he says, listen, this is Jesus. He permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John. The brother of James. All right? All right, let's move along. Hallelujah. All righty. I got to find my place again. Glory to God. Okay. Okay, Mark 5. Okay, here we are. I was looking in the wrong place. All right. So he didn't permit anybody to follow him except those three guys. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult of those who wept and wailed lightly. Amen. You know we have some of those. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." Notice now, Jesus came in talking faith. He didn't go in and say, "Oh, isn't it sad, this little baby? She gone to be with her maker. God wanted another rose to put in his heavenly garden. Well, well. Can I get an amen?" Don't say nothing. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said the child is not dead, but sleeping. And guess what they did? Verse 40, and they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, sometimes you just have to get some folks out. And when he put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, Peter, James, and John, and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl rose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and she were overcome with great amazement. Excuse me, and they were overcome with great amazement. Now, listen to me. Even Jesus, when he was on the earth, could be hindered from working miracles if the atmosphere wasn't right. Remember, he went back to his hometown, and the Bible says that he could not Didn't say he would not. He said he could not do any great miracles there. And it's because of a lack of faith. Oh, yeah, this is Jesus. Yeah, we know him. This is Joseph and Mary's boy. We rule. Oh man, I remember that. I remember him. He wearing diapers and all this, you know. And the people didn't give him the due respect for him being the Son of God. So he couldn't do any great works. He did some minor stuff, but he couldn't do anything great there because of their lack of faith. And Jesus knew that he was going to raise this little girl from the dead, but he's going to have to get certain people out in order for God to move. Why am I telling you this story? Because we're living in a time now where we need to use our faith, where we need to believe God. And I told you this, I believe it was last Sunday. I'm getting ready to close. And I want to repeat it. There are people, hurting people, lost people, misguided people, waiting on you. They may not even know you, know anything about you, but they are waiting on you to show up in the spirit of faith and get them set free. Hallelujah. Get them set free. There's a whole lot of stuff going on, stuff. I'm not talking about bad stuff, just, you know, we can all be busy. You can be busy having church. But what God wants us to do today is to spend time with him, spend time in his word, and believe what he said. And act on what he said. Don't be afraid. Listen to me, and I'm closing. Don't be afraid to lay your hand on a sick person and expect God to raise them up. Every one of you in here, if you saved, spirit-filled, you should be laying your hands on the sick. Pastor, I did that and nothing happened. You keep doing it. See, what we got to make sure we do is make sure that everything's right on our end. Amen? Remember, some people Jesus couldn't heal because of their lack of faith and their attitude and so forth. See, that's not our problem. We just got to make sure we're ready. And I promise you, you get ready, good things are going to happen. I said good things are going to happen. I said good things are going to happen. Now, in closing, how many of you want God to use you? Raise your hand. Don't raise your hand if you ain't serious. Because, see, not only am I looking, God looking. You want God to use you? Come on, raise your hand high. Be bold about it. Now, first of all, are you willing to pay the price? Amen. Keep your hands up. Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to make the necessary changes? Are you willing to sacrifice some time to become energized? Oh, glory to God. I know your arm's getting tired. You can put them down. Father, you see these hands? Father, I pray right now. Hallelujah. That you anoint them like they never been anointed before. To go forth on their jobs, in their communities, or wherever they may be, and wherever the opportunity arises, that they will minister the word. Pray for the sick. Reach out to the lost. Encourage those that are hurting. Hallelujah. Every one of us. Every one of us are called by God Almighty. I didn't say fivefold ministry, but we've called to men, you called to the ministry. And that's to help someone else. Preachers can't be every place. If you call me sometime, I may not can come. But guess what? You should be ready. Matter of fact, come back to church and give your testimony of what God did for you. Through you, how he changed some lives through you. Glory to God. Father, we thank you right now for an increase in your anointing.